This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
Well, I'm glad that you chose to be here this morning, because you could have chosen not to. See, understand, that's the basis of life from the human perspective. I've said it many times, I'll say it again till we all get it. Life is a series of choices. What you are now is due to the choices that you have made. What you will be tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now, is based on the choices you make today. It's not difficult. It's not philosophically hard to understand. And that's what God has been giving us in the Sermon on the Mount. As we've read the blueprint for discipleship, Christ has been constantly giving us a choice of a way to live as believers, a choice of how to conduct ourselves, a choice of which way to walk. It's all about choice. And yes, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Making choices. But we make them every day. Look at how you're dressed today. All of you look wonderful. You look great. But you chose to dress the way you dress today. Some people are moved by fashion and style. You can tell that I'm not. You know, I hear people talking about, oh, I buy my clothes from here and I buy my clothes from this place and all these fashionable places. I go to a very out-of-the-road place called BJ's Warehouse, okay? And oftentimes, I choose to wear what I wear because it's clean and it fits. Amen? But we follow the styles today. We make choices based upon what everybody else is doing. I like to go to bookstores. I'm a book person. And invariably, when I go to a bookstore, there's always a rack there that has editor's choice or bestseller. Or this is what Oprah reads. You know, and who's you know, I think, oh, Oprah reads it. It must be good. Yeah. And we make our choices based upon what all the popular people choose to do. You know, in Harrisburg, where I live, Harrisburg's not a very big town. It's a wonderful place. I love living in Harrisburg. But it's not a very big place. But we have 5 grocery stores right there on Highway 49. 5 of them. Various levels of affordability and food styles and everything else. 5 grocery stores. And I'm glad they're there. But we have choices. And then you go in the grocery store. My word, you have so many choices. My mom used to give me a hard time when I would come in the house, open the refrigerator, and she'd say, "What? I'm trying to find something to eat with a refrigerator full of food." We are faced with choices every day, and God has created us that way. And the reason why is because God has created us as what philosophers called a free moral agent, to choose. Because at the end of the day, God wants to be chosen. God didn't program us to love Him. He could have done that. If you have a smart speaker at home, or if you have your thing in your phone, then you can say, "Hey Siri, show me a picture. Hey Siri, play this song." I hope I set off everybody's phones. Or Alexa, you know, "Alexa, do this. Alexa, show me that." He could have programmed us to be like that. He could have programmed us to say, "I love you, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord." But He didn't. He gave us a choice. Because that's the thing you want. You want to be chosen to be loved. You want to be chosen to be wanted. You want to be chosen to be needed. And concerning Christ's disciples, those who know Christ and want to walk with Him, He wants you and I to make that choice. And as we get close to the end of this sermon, Jesus has covered many bases, but now towards these last few passages, He's going to leave it to an either-or choice. And this is what it is. We make Christianity harder than it needs to be sometimes. We like to take theological positions and philosophical thoughts, and we like to make harder than it needs to be because we like to sound like we're somebody. We go on Facebook and on Instagram and pontificate of our theological erudition. We think we're something, and we want to prove that we're the smartest, most spiritual. And at the end of the day, Christianity is not like that at all. At the end of the day, it's a choice. To be saved is a choice. God has provided the means of salvation. Not only has he provided the means of salvation in Christ, but he's made it easy. We're all sinners. We're all broken. We're all lost. Do I really need to remind you of that? Have you read the headlines today? For that matter, have you looked back over your life and seen a few mistakes? We're all broken. Christ knew that, knew we couldn't keep any law to be saved. No religion would save us. That's why he came, God in the flesh, and took our sins and died and paid for them on the cross. Every person in this room, every person online listening to my voice, your sins, past, present, and future, were dealt with once and for all, paid for by Christ on the cross. And to everybody hearing my voice, he offers salvation free and clear if you will choose Jesus. Instead of trying to rest in some religion, instead of trying to trust in your trying, you and I need to fall upon him by faith and trust him as our Savior. It's a choice. It's a choice. Then after you're saved, it's a choice of what you're going to do now. And that's what Jesus is dealing with. That's what a disciple is. We don't become a disciple to be saved, but when we are saved, we become a disciple. And the idea is to walk with Christ, to learn from him, to follow his example, to follow his lead, to be like him in the best of our human capacity. We are to be co-workers with him in the ministry as disciples, because that was his plan. Can you imagine when Christ ascended into heaven and the angel said, all right, Lord, what are you going to do to get the gospel out? He says, I'm leaving it up to those people. And the angel looked at him and said, you're doing what? But that was his plan. And over again, he tells us how we're to be a good disciple, talking about our character, our influence, how we're to live righteously by God's word, how we're to choose the leader and that which motivates our lives. And now in the last few verses, he's going to bring it down to a series of simple choices. In Matthew chapter 7, as we pick it up in verse 13, let me read the passage to you. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, as we read that, and as you've heard that, you've probably heard about the narrow gate and the wide gate all of your life, especially if you're a believer. And many times people refer to this as a sort of a salvation passage, and I guess it can be interpreted that way. For there is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. I know people out there saying, well, there are many pathways to God. All religions lead to God. And that sounds nice and it sounds diplomatic, but it's not true. Number one, it's illogical. Number two, it's irrational. It's illogical that all pathways lead to God, all religions lead to God, because all religions contradict one another. If you were to put, for instance, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, all three, just the big three in a row there, you would find so many contradictions. It's illogical that they all lead to God. They don't even have the same viewpoint of who and what God is or how to be saved, much less all religions lead to God. And it's irrational because if God loves us and wants us to be saved, why would he put such a confusing choice in front of us to begin with? No. God made it simple. It's only one way, Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 12, there is no other name under heaven, Jesus Christ, whereby we must be saved, for there is salvation in none other. The Bible very clearly says it's Jesus and Jesus only. And it's not only that for salvation, but it's that for living as well. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. John R. Stott has been my kind of my guide through this as I've been studying. He was a man of God, and he loved the Lord, and he wrote this wonderful commentary. Let me share with you a bit of it again. Speaking of this passage we just read, he said, "Certainly Jesus emphasizes here, even more strongly than before, the necessity of choice. Enter by the narrow gate," he begins. It's not hard to understand. "Enter by the narrow gate," he begins. That is the contrast between the two kinds of righteousness and of devotion. The two treasures, the two masters, the two ambitions. We've been talking about those throughout chapters 5 and 6 and 7. These have been faithfully portrayed, and now the time for decision has come. Jesus is bringing us to that choice. It is to be the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. Not here to mince words. It's either the kingdom of Satan, and there is a very alive and living, powerful devil, or the kingdom of God. The prevailing culture or the Christian counterculture. And that is basically the choice that Christ presents here. And again, I'm reminding you that he's speaking to his disciples as he gives this message. Jewish men and some women scattered in there also, who had believed on him already. They were following him. They were walking with him. He's not talking to a bunch of pagans or a bunch of unbelievers. No, no. He's talking to religious people, spiritual people, even people who have begun to believe on him. Because while the choice is simple, sometimes even the simplest choice is the hardest. I remember years ago when my daughter was about 10 or 11 years old, I forget, somewhere around there, and she had been given money for her birthday by a bunch of people. And she didn't know what she wanted for her birthday. God bless her. And she said, "I think I want an iPod," back when those things were still the technical thing. But she said, "I don't know." She said, "Dad, will you take me to Best Buy?" So I got in the car, took her to Best Buy. Went in there, because I am rather familiar with Best Buy, because I love flashy, blinky things, okay? Went into Best Buy, went right to the iPods, there it was. Problem, it was going to take every bit of her money. She said, "I just don't know." I said, "Well, Liddy, we'll look around and you decide." An hour and a half later, she still didn't know. I said, "Liddy, it's late. Dad, I don't know." I said, "Honey, buy it or not, I just don't know." So Dad overruled and said, "We're going home and let Mom bring you back for the next hour and a half." The simplest decisions, yes, they're hard. And listen, understand this, as you saw in your Sunday school lesson this morning, if you were here, living for Christ can be difficult. Living for Christ is challenging. Living for Christ, as I said last week, is not for sissies. Living for Christ takes your entire life, your entire attention. And yes, it's going to be difficult at times. But understand this, the time that we're here on this planet is very brief. James says it's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What we do now, one day we'll be rewarded or not rewarded in eternity as believers. But it all comes down to a choice. So Jesus gives us these choices. I want you to notice the first choice that he gives, or how he frames this choice. He first of all talks about two gates. As you walk through life, there are two gates. And you enter these gates, one or the other of these gates, every morning when you get out of bed. One gate is the gate of culture, the culture gate, which means you're going to follow the dictates, the ebbs and flows of culture. And let's face it, we do that to a great extent. We dress the way the culture tells us to dress. 10 years ago, standing before you, I would be wearing a suit and tie. We'd all be dressed, you know, differently. But the culture has moved away from that, and that's fine. I'm more comfortable now anyway. We were watching an old program last night on TV. Lydia and I were sitting there, and her first thing out of there was, wow, those people dressed funny back in the 60s. Yes, we did. There are pictures of me from the 60s, 70s, and 80s that I would like to be put away somewhere for good. But yet, we dress differently. We look differently. Ladies, you remember the 80s with the hair? People talk about climate change. That's where it comes from, all the hairspray. Big hair. Guys, all the stupid-looking mustaches that we had, and I'm not going to look at anybody who has one today. I remember we had these thick horn ring teardrop glasses that made us look like Urkel, all right? Aren't you glad some of those things have changed? Yeah, we follow those styles, and that's okay. It's not going to hurt us to follow and look, because we don't want to stand out. Could you imagine if somebody came in with gigantic hair or elephant bell bottoms or a dashiki that's, you know, I mean, just coming in here, look at, you know, we think, what costume party, huh? Okay. No, we don't want to stand out, but at the same time, following styles is one thing with dress, following styles is one thing with other things, but following the world spiritually, philosophically, following the culture. And listen, we are having a clash of cultures today. Our country, our world is more divided than ever. You can read the news. You can see it. And I said this some years ago, and I'll say it again. Christians, every day is a choice, that you have a choice. And I'm going to tell you, even now so more today than when I was young, the choice is more broad and bright and necessary. Up every morning and decide what gate you're going to go through. And many, unfortunately, go through the culture gate. They chase down whatever's popular. They buy whatever book is popular. They believe whatever teaching is popular. Even within the church, there's a lot of misinformation, unbiblical lessons that are not biblical, but we follow it because it's the cool thing to do. We choose different preachers to listen to because instead of them being accurate and sound scripturally, they're celebrities. We follow a celebrity culture. We follow a culture that the cool people follow. And so every morning we make that decision. Are we going to go through that gate? Or the second gate is the kingdom gate, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the kingdom where we seek to please God with our lives. No, that doesn't mean we have to go into a high hill and hide in a tower. That's not it at all. The Bible tells us we're to be in the world. You can't influence the world for Christ if you don't live there. We're just simply not to be of the world. Yes, we can, you notice I'm not wearing my old preacher uniform. That's because if I came up here wearing a coat and tie, there'd be more people talking about my coat and tie on the way out of here than they did the message. We dress, we live, we try to move along with the culture as much as we can without sacrificing our holiness. But walking through the kingdom of God's, that gate, means that we have to decide daily, sometimes even hourly, minute by minute, that we're going to walk in the kingdom gate. That means our lives belong to Him. That means we're going to live by His rules, His dictates. Yes, dare I say it, His laws. We're going to live by the word of God. We're going to walk with Christ so that we might be salt and light and influencers, so that we might give glory to God, so that men and women might see our good works and glorify God and come to Christ. And I will say to you that probably the largest portion of people that attend church in America and Europe and other are not walking through the kingdom gate. Oh, they might come visit the kingdom from time to time. They come to church. They come maybe Wednesday night. We come to visit God, but we don't walk with Him. So those are the two gates. What does Jesus say? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by in by it. So there's the narrow gate, and that it's either going to be the culture gate or the kingdom gate, and that's your choice. And no, I'm not going to have an aisle invitation this morning. I haven't done that in a while. The reason why is oftentimes it's showy and it works up emotion. And those emotions die when Monday morning comes around. It's not necessary that you stand for Christ and walk in here. It's easy. Standing for Christ and walking in the world at your job, at school, in your neighborhood, in your family. That requires surrender. Two gates. And notice he called them narrow and wide. Narrow and broad. There are two ways. It's interesting, in the early church, in the book of Acts, one of the things you've seen, hopefully if you've been in Sunday school and you saw this, back when the church began, it wasn't called the church, necessarily. It was called the way. All the way through the book of Acts, at various places, the assembling of God's people was called the way, with a capital W. That is the way we are to conduct ourselves. That is the way we are to carry ourselves. Jesus talks about the wide way. Notice he said, broad in verse 13 is the way, or wide is the way that leads to destruction. What does he mean by that? Well, he said that that cultural gate is very popular. That cultural gate is very, very populated. Why? Because it's easy. It's easy to go along to get along, isn't it? It's easy because you don't want to stand out. I tell you, the toughest part of life and the people that get my most prayer sometimes are teenagers. Praise God for a great youth team that took them to Snowbird. And we're glad they had a good time. Praise the Lord for godly parents. Praise the Lord for godly teachers, because life for a teenager, and you probably have forgotten about this, but it is some of the most difficult years of your life. Because, listen, other kids can be merciless. I remember when I was a teenager, the big thing when I was 12 and 13 and 14 years old was your tennis shoes. You were not cool unless you wore high-top Chuck Taylor Converse tennis shoes. And I remember telling my mother, I need those tennis shoes. My mother was a penny pincher. She'd held a penny so hard she'd rub Abraham Lincoln off of it. And she would go to this place, Woolworths. Anybody remember Woolworths? She would buy my tennis shoes from Woolworths because they were $2.99 a pair. And back in the day, the high tops, Converse high tops, were $12.99 a pair. Man, today, that's nothing. My mother said, I am not paying $12.99 for a pair of tennis shoes. So I went out and started mowing lawns. And I mowed a ton of lawns, and I bought myself a pair. Because if you didn't wear them, they would say you were wearing hot boxers. And you didn't want anybody. I see some of y'all nodding. Look at that guy. He's wearing hot boxers. What a creep. You know, that's the thing we had to deal with. We had to chase down those fashions. When I was a little older, towards late high school, early college, Izod shirts were the thing. Anybody remember that? With the alligator on the front, you know, you had to get, and those were expensive for that time. I remember when Susan and I, it was her dad's birthday. Now, this man was born in 1918. He had Susan at a very late stage in his life. And we thought we were going to go out and get him a nice present for his birthday. We were going to get him an Izod golf shirt. And we thought he was going to go, oh, thank you. We brought it to his house. He said, oh, this is nice. Next day, he had it on, but the gator was gone. I said, Alec, what happened to your shirt? He said, I took a razor blade and scraped that stupid thing off. I think, come on, man. You're not cool anymore. But that's what we do. We follow the trends. And we want to be popular. We want to be accepted. Because that's the thing. And today, that's what people do. They buy into certain philosophies. We cheer on certain thoughts and philosophies that are big today. Why? Simply because we want to be accepted. We see all these college students on campus protesting against Israel and cheering for Palestine. What they don't understand is what they don't understand. In Palestine, for instance, these women who shout and talk about standing up for Palestine, women in Palestine are treated like cattle. Women cannot even have, they don't have their own rights. Many of them cannot drive. They're not allowed to drive. They're not allowed to go to school. Their husbands are allowed by the Quran to beat them if they get out of line. In these countries, they cast homosexuals and lesbians from rooftops. And often they castrate them and ruin their sexual organs just to keep them from having desires. But we go along with this stuff and we shout because it's popular. And there are even today, within the Church of Jesus Christ, people who are deconstructing their faith. saying, well, the Bible's not relevant anymore. The commands and dictates of God don't matter anymore. And being at church isn't important, so they begin to deconstruct their faith to the point where Jesus is nothing more than a pleasant man who loves them despite anything else. He's not their Savior. He's not their Lord. He's no better than Buddha. He's no better than the nice old dude across the street. Very popular. We'll get on any bandwagon so everybody will accept us. We'll get on everything so everybody will love us. That's the wide way. But look what Jesus said. He said, that's the broad gate. Instead, he said, enter the narrow gate, the narrow way. The word narrow there is an interesting word. It literally means tight. It literally means almost funnel-like. Have you ever been anywhere where only one person can go through this passageway? And that's kind of gives that idea. It's very narrow, very tight. I've had somebody sometimes in different periods call me narrow-minded. Oh, you Christians, you're narrow-minded. And it used to offend me till I understood this passage. And now I say, yes, I am narrow-minded. I am focused on the truth. Jesus said, we saw this Wednesday night, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Listen, understand this. Truth is very narrow. There's no such thing as my truth and your truth and her truth and his truth. Truth is truth. The truth is, I have blonde hair. That's very narrow. I can't get up here and say, I'm a redhead, or I'm a brunette. The truth is, I'm a blonde-haired person. That's it. There's no other option. Truth is that way. Truth is narrow. And the Word of God is truth. The message of Christ is truth. Christianity is true. There aren't various choices. There aren't many choices. There's only one choice. One choice. And it's a narrow choice. Two ways, two gates. The wide way, it's wide because it's popular. Most people run in this wide way. Even religious people run through the wide way. Even Christians who are not interested in truth will chase after some form of wideness in their life. They go through that cultural gate. They find the wide way instead of going through that narrow gate. And the narrow gate, the kingdom gate, and the kingdom way. Unfortunately, in this, Jesus lays out two different outcomes. You know, one thing I love about the Word of God and I love about the Lord, He does not make it difficult. I get a kick out of people say, well, brother, the Bible is very difficult to understand. And yeah, there are parts of it you need to really dive into and dig out. Problem is, most people aren't willing to do that because it does take effort, but I tell you, it's always rewarded because God's Word is always faithful and true. God's Word never contradicts itself. But you know what? There are some places where the Bible is very clear and easy. And by the way, when you're studying the Bible, a rule of thumb is to interpret the difficult passages based upon the easy and clear ones. If you're reading something you don't understand, ask what does God say about it elsewhere in Scripture. And generally, it provides its own commentary. Last year, we went through the entire book of Revelation. And I hope that you saw when we went through that book that Revelation basically is its own commentary. Revelation, you know, there's a lot of stuff in Revelation, man. Revelation's a beast. It's big and it's complicated. But if you're patient, you read through it and take your time, it usually sorts itself out for you. It's not difficult at all at the end of the day. Scripture is not difficult. And God here doesn't give us, well, you got X, Y, Z over here, and you got A, B, C, choose one. No, God gives us one choice. The narrow choice. And how you make that choice will determine the outcome of your life. First, if you choose not to trust Christ as your Savior, then you will die in your sin and be lost for eternity. I don't think I need to get into the parameters of the specifics of that. It's pretty difficult and pretty hard to hear. There is a literal hell. It does exist. And that's where people go who reject Christ. You mean a loving God sends people to hell? No. People send themselves by rejecting the loving God who's provided a free and easy salvation. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that cultural gate that's so popular, that leads to what? Destruction. If you don't receive Christ as your Savior, if you don't trust Him, you will be lost and spend an eternity in hell separated from Him. And also, if you have received Christ and you're Christian and you're trying to walk with Him, but you choose rather to walk with the culture and with the world, you're going to experience a destroyed life. Oh, you'll have a good time at times. The book of Hebrews says there is pleasure in sin. But the rest of the passage says, but for a season. Parties are great until parties are over. I mean, every one of us have observed that kind of elation. And then all of a sudden, that kind of letdown. You meet that wonderful person, they turn out not to be the person, or they do something, and then you're let down. Oh, you go to that place and have that great experience until finally something goes wrong. You buy that new car, and you open it as that new car smell until your kids eat fries and do other things in the back seat. Every time we put our hopes and our hearts into things of the world, something gets broken, something gets stolen, something gets smelly, okay? It's difficult. But the narrow way, the kingdom way, leads to life. Notice what he says. He said that broad way, that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. You're not going to go with the crowd unless you want to have a life that's characterized that way. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate, and difficult. The word difficult there in the Greek literally means tight. It means tight. There's no room to go right or left. There's no room to vary. What does that mean, Pastor? It means we go by the dictates and commands of God in His Word. Truth. Truth. That's why I tell people, listen, don't have a religious worldview. Don't have even a biblical or a Christian worldview. Have a worldview based on truth. Because truth does not contradict Scripture or Christianity. Truth is true, but truth is very narrow. It's very tight. There's no wiggle room in truth. We follow the truth. Narrow is the gate and difficult. Tight is the way which leads to, notice what the word is, life. Life. In John chapter 10, this is what Jesus said. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the satanic kingdom. Satan is spoken of as a thief. He wants to rob your joy. He wants to rob your purpose. He wants to rob your fulfillment. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now, don't get into the health and wealth gospel of, oh, you'll be rich if you'll follow Jesus. No, you won't. You may, but you may not. The abundance comes in the Spirit of God walking with you, carrying you through. The abundance comes in when you know what you're doing is right, when you know what you're doing is honoring to God, when you know what you're doing is pleasing to Him, when you know what you're doing and as you're living for Christ is influential to bring people along on the right and narrow path. So the outcome of going through the cultural gate, the wide way, is destruction. I can't word it any better than Jesus did. But the outcome for going through the narrow gate is life. Abundant life. Joyful life. Life fulfilling. Purposeful. And eternally rewarding. Here's the sad part. The ending of this verse is so sad. The difficult gate is the way in which leads to life. And listen to this. And there are few who find it. There are few who find it. It's not popular. It's not easy. Sometimes, again, walking with Christ is difficult. But God gets us through and God blesses. For over 45 years, I've endeavored to walk with Christ and I've failed many times. And I would love to be able to stand up here and tell you victory after victory after victory that I have won in my walk with Christ, but that would not be true. These people aren't mad at me. They're getting ready to go get baptized. I can't speak for all of them, though, but at least those ones. But how sad. You know, as you look at the statistics today, Church attendance in the United States has dropped 30% in the last 10, 15 years. COVID did have a lot to do with that. But partly it's because those people who should be going through the narrow gate have basically given up on God. Not that coming to church is the end all and be all. Don't think of the church as a place, think of it as a base where we come and get energized and equipped. But you know what? It's not popular. So very simply, Jesus says, look, enter by the narrow gate. This is where we should get up and walk every day. Through that difficult, that tight place. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find that. Again, the narrow way, Jesus said it himself. There aren't many ways to God. There aren't many religions that lead to God. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way. Not I am a way, I am the way. Not one of the ways, the way. I am the truth, not a truth. Truth is not relative. Whatever Immanuel Kant said, truth is not relative. Truth is truth. Let me give you an easy definition of truth. You should not even be able to forget this. Truth is what is. That's truth. You want to define truth? Truth is what is. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Without Christ, there's not reality. There's only fantasy. A life that is like a roller coaster. 1 minute up, you're up, and 1 minute, you're down. Notice what he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus didn't leave room for other religions. Jesus didn't leave room for other truths which don't exist. Jesus didn't leave room for other ways to heaven. He is the way by faith in him. Proverbs kind of worded it a different way as we close. The author of Proverbs, under the inspiration of God, said this. He said, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Today we're going to baptize. And as we're going to say in just a minute, baptism has nothing to do with being saved. These people have already professed faith in Christ who are being baptized. Baptism is a way of publicly showing their surrender and commitment to Christ. Choosing to walk with the wise, those who are serving and disciples of Christ, rather than the fools. And that's the choice today, folks. That's it. Not hard. Will you walk with Christ or not? How do you know how to do that? You study and learn Scripture and follow it. Not hard. What gate are you going to go through? Standing together with heads bowed and eyes closed. More importantly, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, again, there's only one choice. There's only one choice, and that choice is Jesus Christ. That choice is I come to him admitting I'm a sinner, admitting I'm lost, admitting I cannot save myself. You might have tried religion. You might have tried this thing, that thing. But listen, none of those things save. Religion won't send you to heaven. It'll send you to hell, no matter what religion it is. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. We enter into that relationship by admitting, yes, I'm lost, I'm sinner, I'm broken. This preacher, including me and you. Falling on Christ is our only hope for heaven. Placing our full faith and confidence in him as our Savior. That's what saves. That's the choice you need to make today if you've never trusted him. If you do know Christ as Savior, what gate are you going to walk through when you walk out of this church this morning? What gate are you going to walk through when you get up to go to work, to school, to out in the yard, whatever you're going to do? What gate are you going to walk through tomorrow at noon, next Tuesday at 5? What gate are you going to walk through? Because that will determine life or struggle. Struggle with it is meaningless. Struggle that is selfish. What is your choice? Bow with me. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of your word, the directness of your speech. Father, we thank you that you cut through all the nonsense and that, Father, you leave us with a choice, a wide gate, a narrow gate. The narrow way, the broad way. And you make very clear the outcomes. I'm sure there will be those who argue with what I've said. Maybe they will, I don't know. But Father, their argument is not with me. Their argument is with you. Father, I pray that everyone listening and hearing my voice knows Christ as his or her Savior. They've trusted him. And I pray that you would lead me to continue to walk through the narrow gate. Forgive me where I have failed and gone through the wide gate. And I pray for these who have gathered here, Lord, you love them so desperately and you want to bless their lives and empower their lives and enrich their lives. Help us all to choose that narrow gate, as difficult and struggling as it can be. Help us to walk through there and trust you. We might be alone, we might be by ourselves. But Father, help us to stand knowing that you're with us. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.